Sun and Fun, and ANN. Some background. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Aero News Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell, and we're here to talk about the event coming up this coming week in a kind of a unique perspective that Aero News has as regards Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. Jim, thanks for coming on board and talking with us for a few minutes today.
Not a problem at all, Paul.
Let me start out by asking you, I think most of our listeners and readers and viewers know that we have, let's put this charitably, a unique relationship with this event.
That's the best way I've heard put in a while.
give us some background on how this whole thing rolled out.
Well, it actually goes back quite a long time ago. Over the years, even prior to ANN and when I was running my magazine group, we occasionally saw things that needed to be corrected. I guess our first major issue going up against the Sun and Fun powers that be occurred quite a few years ago, pushing 20 years at this stage of the game, when we noticed a number of then ultralight type two-seaters being operated with people who were not instructors, and numbers that didn't even belong to the aircraft. One of them actually belonged to a beach baron, and being operated by a company in the light plane area that was actually charging for rides. All three of those are a no-no.
Oh, yeah.
And in company of the then president of the U.S. Ultralight Association, John Valentine, a pretty upstanding individual, we went and informed the Sun and Fun powers that be that, hey, guys, there are people selling rides here with people who aren't instructors and airplanes with N numbers that they don't own. Plus, to be honest, some of the stuff is real erratic and real problematic, and sooner or later somebody's either going to get hurt, but you know, I wouldn't want to be you in the liability stream if you ignore this. And to put it charitably, we were told to mind our own business. Actually, I think they were a little bit more anatomically explicit than that.
Yes.
But you know, the fact of the matter is, and, you know, John was there. He can verify, you know, everything and has verified over the years. And it was the beginning of a somewhat downhill slide because prior to that, we'd had a pretty solid relationship with the early generation of the Sun and Fun folks. We'd even helped out as volunteers and been out there. I've been going out there for the better part of 30 years.
Well, let's stop right there for a second and talk about when the first generation handed the baton, because if I'm not mistaken, that kind of forms a convenient dividing line on the time frame for when things kind of went south.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, you know, as I said, there's been this kind of transition where it got, you know, progressively worse in increments. We were told about that time by the woman who was running the press area, Bonnie Higby, that they were not appreciative of the fact that occasionally we did stories that did not cast Sun and Fun in its best light. She not only told this to us, but to quite a number of other people, even showed up in some legal documents a long time ago. But to make an exceedingly long story short, basically what she was telling us is that if we didn't write things that were more favorable to Sun and Fun, we could be kicked out. I had explained to her at the time that there's this little thing called the First Amendment and the constitutional privileges and so forth, and I frankly, one, didn't think that they were serious, nor could they be serious, nor could they actually pull it off. And, you know, over the years, if you look at the ratio of stories, if you want to go positive to negative, but stories that are, you know, bright and cheerful and positive versus the ones that aren't quite, there's just this overwhelming majority, because the overwhelming majority of things to be seen and done at Sun and Fun are indeed positive, no question. I mean, a lot of neat people doing neat things who love aviation and are there out of the goodness of their hearts. They have a fantastic volunteer cadre who are some of the nicest, sweetest people you've ever met. But there's some folks running it who seem to think that criticism under any circumstance is a bad thing, and that when the emperor has no clothes, that it's not a good idea to say so. The situation got significantly more acute when we had put out some notices after a number of altercations and unhappy confrontations with Sun and Fun, saying, look, there are vendors out there saying, or excuse me, selling aircraft that in the past they have not produced, i.e. they've taken money, and not only have they not produced the aircraft, but in several cases there were judgments against the companies.
Mm-hmm.
Sun and Fun didn't seem to care about that so long as the vendor paid their exhibitors' fees. That
right.
was the only responsibility they thought they had. And as a matter of fact, on two occasions, we know Sun and Fun Security was used to separate people with a known and probable grievance, i.e., I paid you money, where's my kit, from the folks that they were complaining about. Sun and Fun Security was used to keep people away from Adventure Amphibian, which was a major disaster in the sport aviation industry over a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the case of a fellow with a serious, not only a serious grievance against CGS, but in fact he had, had for many years a judgment against him in the state of Florida, which he was not able to perfect, in part, he says, due to interference from Lakeland. These are the subtle issues. Where it got far, far more serious is when we started, frankly, being very concerned about some safety issues. One particular year, and I don't recall the exact year, we noted that the light plane area was a short runway set off from, the main area for, light plane and ultralight.
Right.
It was bordered on one side by the parking lot, the parking lot terminated right at the end of one of the thresholds of the runway, and on the other end by fence, ditch, and trees. Also, that at times there was not a lot of supervision for that area. And after saying, hey guys, there's a better way to do this, and not getting a response at all, we finally got very frustrated, and we put out a safety notice that we published to our own auspices, as well as sending out faxes to some of the local media saying this stuff needs to be fixed.
You know, I have to interrupt you here and say I have a good friend who lives in Orlando, Florida, who I've known for years, who says one of his favorite things to do around dawn and dusk was to go set up a lawn chair in the parking area and wait for what he called thumpers. And that was people who managed to put dents in car roofs.
Right. I mean, it was just insane. And the fact that something hasn't happened very serious in that parking lot is a testament to the fact that somebody's got one heck of a rabbit's foot, which is not to say there haven't been incidents out there. There have been cars hit in a number of incidents, but people have thankfully been a lot luckier than they might otherwise have been. However, the week after we put out that first safety warning about the light plane area, and I mean, this was like 7 or 8 days,
mm-hmm.
and it just terrified us at the time because nobody expected to have a crystal ball that worked that good. But unfortunately, a fellow flying out of the area with a high-wing aircraft, which should have been able to use the runway under most circumstances, took off with a passenger, downwind, 11 knots, went off the end of the runway, and off the edge, into the ditch, and hit the far side of the ditch head-on. He died.
Mm.
His passenger was severely injured. And I might note his passenger was somebody who was on board at the behest of one of the Sun and Fun officials there. One of the people in the light plane area said, hey, give this guy a ride. It was one of the volunteers. And this fellow was killed. And literally in the way that we said was entirely possible considering what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
What was particularly troubling to us was, it's hard to change a pattern, but it had been going 11 knots downwind for quite some time. A company with a small weather device was in the area and even gave us data for the preceding hours and showed that it had been going on for a long time, but nobody decided that with 11 knots of downwind that it was time to change the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was horribly unfortunate. In other years, we noted that the way that traffic lined up for the main runway and the pseudo runway, the taxiway that was pressed into use as a runway, which is actually right next door, it's a taxiway. It's very thin. Not that wide. It also means that there are parallels landing really close to each other.
Right.
But worse was the way that traffic came together from Lake Parker and other areas and made the tight turn to final. They've had fatalities out there turning to final. That was one of our concerns. The other concern is that it was had significant potential for midair. And that was a year that we had a number of duty controllers from Lakeland,
mm-hmm.
Asking for some anonymity, but, certainly quite credible and so forth. And we did verify all this with everything up and down the line. But we talked to half a dozen of them who all said that the controllers who were being appointed to the area were often appointed for political reasons rather than skill reasons. It became, a bit of a plum, so forth and so on. But we had very serious concerns about a midair. And sure enough, short wing Piper and an RV-6 collided. The fellow in the RV-6 was killed. The fellow in the short wing Piper was hurt horrendously. Survived. and as a matter of fact, has done some interviews with us on the subject. At another point, we noted and have noted over the years that at every other fly-in we've been to, nobody moves pedestrians as close to moving planes and propellers as they seem to do at Lakeland. And the one particular year where we made a significant point of that, one of their volunteers was clobbered and a child was clobbered. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, by leading edges of wings and not propellers, and thankfully both survived. There's been a long litany of these things, and the problem is that we keep being told we're wrong, we're wrong, we're wrong, we're wrong, and yet, ultimately, if you look at the coverage that's been done, we can't be anything but right. And nobody wishes we were wrong more than we are.
All right, Jim, we need to take a break, but when we come back, let's talk to people who are going to come to Sun and Fun about how best to enjoy the event, what to watch out for, maybe with a special focus on someone who's bought a new airplane in another state within the last 6 months.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm Paul Plack. My guest today is ANN's editor-in-chief, Jim Campbell. We're talking about the upcoming event next week in Lakeland. You are listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. Talking today with Jim Campbell, Aero News Managing Editor, Sun and Fun attendee for the better part of three decades. We talked a little bit in the first half of this feature about the unique relationship between Aero News and Sun and Fun, and unique not being a good term in this sense. But Jim, I think we all want everyone who comes to Florida and comes to Sun and Fun to enjoy themselves. You know, obviously, if there's a successful event anywhere in aviation, it benefits aviation. Let's talk from the standpoint of people who are planning to attend and talk about some of the things that may be unique that they need to watch for if they come to Sun and Fun. And let's start out with the highly controversial Florida use tax, which appears to be considered somewhat along the lines of a ghost story by the folks who run Sun and Fun.
Well, that's particularly unfortunate. We have been doing stories for well over a year indicating that the Florida Department of Revenue sees fit to tax airplanes from outside the state of Florida with no connection to the state of Florida, no residence, no vacation homes, no business contacts, simply because they use the state within the first 6 months of their ownership. This is not only this is not a guess and not something they've warned us about. This is something that has actually happened. The worst case of all is a fellow with a Piper Meridian, the turboprop, who has paid the Florida Department of Revenue over $87,000 in taxes. And he's a South Carolina-based attorney, has only been to Florida for training in his airplane and twice to Lakeland. Doesn't have any business interests here, not practicing before the bar here, the whole bit. It's a particularly abysmal story. Where we were concerned is the potential for large groups of people or large groups of airplanes to go one place and kind of tease the Florida Department of Revenue into deciding to surveil the event, because a place like Lakeland is a possible lure for a bunch of folks from out of state with new airplanes who might wind up with impromptu surprise tax bills.
Well, now just to hold you up for a second there, it's a known occurrence that Florida Department of Revenue personnel have, I don't want to say staked out, but they have made note of transient aircraft parked on ramps at airports in Florida.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. This is not like the state of Maine where you have to be there 19 days total.
No.
Within a year. This is...
You need to be overnight one night.
Do you even need to be there that long? I've heard that even if you stop for fuel, it could be an issue.
Right now, the only ones that we have been able to track down have literally spent at least one night in the state.
Okay.
We've been lucky in that regard. The one problem is something we were alerted to today, though, is that whether or not the Florida Department of Revenue is surveilling Sun and Fun, and they indicate now that they won't, which brings up another problem in that when they have surveilled in the past, why would they not select one event over the other, which certainly indicates that there's a issue with selective enforcement, which could eventually at some point throw the whole thing out. But we now find out that the Florida Department of Revenue and the state of Florida pays a bounty. You can
really?
Turn somebody in. They can pay 10%. I spoke just a few minutes ago with the president of the Florida Aviation Trades Association, Mike Slingoff, who has confirmed that there is a bounty that can be paid for people who turn folks in who may potentially be taxable under this use tax. So FDOR doesn't have to be at Lakeland. If you tick somebody off at Lakeland and somebody decides they're going to have a little bit of fun with you, you may have a problem. And I know for a fact that this particular scenario is being abused heavily in the trucking industry here in Florida. But there's some horror stories about people turning each other in. So this is one of the things that we're, you know, wholly concerned about. It's it only affects those with an airplane that's less than 6 months old, because beyond 6 months, the burden of proof devolves back onto the state of Florida, and they're apparently not interested in playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a new airplane, or if you buy an airplane at Lakeland, you could wind up with a lot more of a tax bill than you thought you might, especially if you're from a state which does not put a sales tax on your airplane but does a flat fee or some other kind of scenario. Is where Florida considers the fact if you haven't paid an equivalent amount of tax elsewhere, you're fair game.
All right. Well, I think that there's plenty of places we can direct people, both on Aero News and on the AOPA site and elsewhere on the web, if they want to, A, verify the existence of this tax, which some people still seem to question, and B, learn what the details are so they can avoid it, maybe fly in on an airliner or drive in.
There is a very strong movement right now. It's been endorsed by EAA, by AOPA, by FATA, and a number of others to at least enact a moratorium, because there does seem to be an incredible amount of sympathy within the Florida government to finding a way beyond this, because there are tremendous loopholes for the RV and boating industry because, quote, they had better lobbyists than you airplane guys. But we hope that those will eventually see some fruit and we won't have to worry about it until the law can be changed. And we do expect the law to be changed. It's just going to take a while. The one thing that was of extraordinary disappointment to us was the fact that Sun and Fun President John Burton saw fit to send out a press release, which was used by a few folks for just a few hours until they realized that the information was incredibly in error, saying that our stories, and quoting our stories word for word, were in fact untrue. In fact, there's one statement in there that just says you can't be taxed for this. Well, the fact of the matter is there are some people who would beg to differ who have paid taxes, and the Sun and Fun press release was not only self-serving in the extreme, but it was fraudulent at worst, because it could conceivably entice people to do something that could put them at risk financially. And we found that incredibly unfortunate, and unfortunately kind of part of the attitude we've seen there, going all the way back to when they were claiming hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of people in attendance, when in fact a subsequent audit proved it was a fraction of that.
Mm-hmm. We only have a couple minutes left here. If someone is coming, what are the things to be careful for? Are there better days to arrive than others? Is there any particular thing you should watch for?
Well, I frankly don't recommend flying into Lakeland at all. It just simply is very busy. There are a number of outlying airports that have tremendous services and various vans and so forth and ways to get back and forth. Bartow, Winter Haven, Plant City, Vandenberg, there are a number of airports in the area that have great services and can get you over to Lakeland, and that allows you to stay away from the swarm. If you do have to go in earlier, the better, just simply by the end of the fact that not that many people will be out there, and keep your eyes on a swivel and keep an eye out. As always, we are going to do our best to cover it to the best extent possible, although I have to say that this is probably the last year that Aero News will be covering the event. Since we started this coverage, I personally have been banned from the event in violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution. They're keeping me away from a federal building, the FAA building, in violation of all kinds of federal laws, as we've been told by a number of sources. And worse, we've had to take a fair amount of harassment, including damage to our office and our vehicles and so forth over the years from people either working for Sun and Fun or were Sun and Fun personnel. It's unfortunate. Aviation deserves so much better. Nowhere in the industry, nowhere in the world are we unwelcome except at Lakeland, which used to be a home field for us. I moved my entire business out of Polk County as a result of the poor treatment and the lack of concern over safety issues over a year ago. And that's quite a few jobs that are now no longer a part of Polk County. But most important, we feel aviation deserves better, needs to be seen better. We feel this is an extraordinary embarrassment. While they're out there hoping that people like the Thunderbirds will fly in and military will display, the same people who are prepared to lose their lives, spill their blood for things like the Constitution of the United States are being flaunted and ignored or in some cases desecrated by the folks at Lakeland because they just can't take the heat.
Jim, we appreciate the background. I'm sure that there have been some people who've seen bits and pieces of this in our coverage leading up to the event who've wondered what the story is, and, well, now you know.
It's unfortunate because let me finish with one thing. Nobody, but nobody would like to see this event fixed, be safer, be more fun, be more successful than we would. There are a number of propositions out there to replace the event altogether because it is a growing opinion that the event is going to fail because of diminishing attendance and so forth, and it's definitely in trouble. We'd like to see it fixed. We'd like to be it safer. We'd like to see it be so much more fun, and we'd do anything we possibly could to make it happen that way if, in fact, somebody was willing to listen and act accordingly.
Jim, that sounds like a hopeful note on which to stop here. I'd like to invite our listeners to check out all the coverage from Sun and Fun on Aero News next week on the website, on the special feature here, and also on Aero TV. Jim Campbell is our editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.